On January 13th of 1982, an airplane crashed into the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. A few injured survivors managed to make it to the surface and cling to some floating debris. And when a helicopter managed to lower a rescue line, the first person to get it to it was Arlen Williams, a 46-year-old banker examiner with a fear of water. He handed the line to one of the other survivors. When that person was rescued, they dropped the line again. And again, William got to it first, only to hand it off to another survivor. He kept on doing this until everyone he could reach was saved. But before they could lower the line again, the debris shifted and dragged him under, and he drowned. If he had even once decided to survive instead of saving someone else, he could have lived. Do you know that they will not give a heart transplant to a drug addict? Why? Because it's a waste. To give somebody life when they don't know if they're going to waste it is a waste. So there's a question I've been asking myself lately, and I hope we can all answer it for ourselves, or at least start the question in our mind tonight. Is my life that I'm living now a life that's worth someone dying for? Because your life has been bought with a price. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 20 says, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." See, our life was paid for by somebody else's death. And the life we're now living was paid for by somebody else. But was it worth it? Was his death on that cross worth it? Are our actions each and every day worth it? You ever gone into a store and looked maybe to buy something and walked out without it? Probably some of the time the price is too high, right? It's not worth it. Now, in life, there's a lot of things we can dedicate ourselves to. We can dedicate ourselves to a job. We can dedicate ourselves to God. We could dedicate ourselves to money. We could dedicate ourselves to our wife. We could dedicate ourselves to fitness. and we could dedicate ourselves to our family. But in that list, which ones are you worth dying for? Let me put it more bluntly. Which one are you willing to sacrifice your children for? Because everything has a price. And are you willing to pay the price? You see, I've had conversations with people that think that the Bible contradicts itself. If you ever think that, you've arrived at the wrong conclusion. Because the Bible does not contradict itself, and God does not contradict itself. But in this conversation, the person said, the Bible contradicts itself. Because the Bible says, the Bible says that Emmett is not responsible for my sin, right? The son is not responsible for the sins of the father. But elsewhere in the scripture, it says that the sins of the father will visit the second and third generation. In this person's mind, there was a contradiction. In my mind, there is no contradiction. Why does the sin of the father visit the second and third generation? It reminds me of an old country song. Maybe not too old. 80s, 90s. But it said, walk a little straighter, Daddy. And maybe some of you have heard it before. But he was talking about his dad always being drunk. And he said, walk a little straighter, Daddy. I'm following in your footsteps. And I say, what are we willing to sacrifice for our own selfish desire? What are we willing to not get right for our own selfish desire? You see? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians there. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. People like this one, right? All things are lawful for me. That's the part they like. But not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Then down in 19, it says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So can my actions glorify God? Absolutely. Can I go to the gym for the glory of God? Absolutely. But if that becomes an idol in my mind, where it takes away from my family, and it becomes an image where I want to be something for the reflection back on me, like I want these big old muscles just because I want people to see the muscles in me, and I'm putting that at a sacrifice of my family, now I have a problem, don't I? It's not for the glory of God anymore. How do we arrive there? How did we get there? Something that occurred to me the other day. Is where we are now in life, what we're doing now in life started with a thought. One thought. Then you build it on that, right? So maybe you are in a good spot, and that started with a thought, and you built on that, and you kept building on that. Or maybe you started with the wrong thought, and you built on that, and now you've arrived at a spot that is not glorifying God. It's mental gymnastics all the time. That's why God says, take every thought captive. Because if you don't win those thoughts, you're going to arrive at the wrong place. I am really happily married. Going into 13 years of marriage. But you know what I tell myself every day? I tell myself, I am satisfied with the gift that God gave me. I don't want nothing more. This is enough. It's beautiful. It's magnificent. But you know what I don't do in my family? I don't yell at my wife. I don't tear her down. Do you want to know why? Do we have some disagreements? Yeah. Usually, I'm the one to blame. But why don't I do that? Because I've counted the cost. And that's what I want us to do tonight. Count the cost. What is the cost of that? What I'm scared of, if the cost of that is not only the friction in this life, but what if that sin visits the second and third generation? I had a problem in my life that cost me over 10 years. And if you go back to the root of it, it's what I'm talking about tonight. Things that were set that visited the second and third generation. I want my kids to have a wonderful marriage. You know when I started to get my life right? When I figured out it wasn't about me. I wanted to be a better example for those looking up to me. This line of thinking started. You guys ever have one of those nights where you just can't sleep? You got to get up at 5:30, but it's 11:30. So I like quotes. And I came across one that's just been echoing through my head. And it had a line, a big line and a little line. And the quote said, "He considered quitting. But then he thought about the cost." See, the cost was there was somebody else looking. And if he gave up in that moment, what would be the cost? What would be the cost of those following him? It's applicable to everybody. Because you can say, I'm here tonight and I don't have children. I'm just a teenager. You're influencing someone. Everyone around you. You might be influencing kids that look up to you. You might be influencing the person the same age as you. We are all influencing someone. So, I don't know how much you guys know about me, but I have horses. And what's the point of having a horse? I think I heard somebody say to ride it. So I have a horse, and there became a time where I wasn't riding the horse. And you know what the problem was? I never made a point to ride the horse. So you know when I started riding the horse more? When I made it a goal to ride the horse. I said, okay, Graceland, we're going to go out every Saturday. We're going to work with the horse, and we're going to ride the horse. And you know what has already happening? We started riding the horse every Saturday. And then we actually tacked on Thursday. And we started riding the horse a lot more, and it was a lot of fun. But see, if you never make a goal to get something done, you're never going to get it done. Why do we get stuck in the rut in our marriage? Why do we get stuck in anger problems towards our children or our significant others? Why do we get stuck in addiction, bad habits? We never make a goal to overcome them. You see, Lorenzo started us off tonight, and it's true. There is this perfection that should be happening. But it's so easy just to say, well, it's not achievable. It's not obtainable. So we'll just write it off. We won't even start because we can't get there. Or we won't overcome because we can't get there. But we can, and we must. Because we were told to, for one. And I don't see how we can keep on claiming that we believe in God and get stuck in the same repeat of a hurdle and never get over it. You see? Because what is the power of God? The power of God is unlimited. So how can we never get over the hurdle? We're not willing to jump that high. You see? We have to put in the effort. God will come his part, but we have to meet him in that direction. He'll help you get over it, but you got to set the goal to get over it, and you got to start the motion. But a lot of us, that's hard to do because it's looking at what's ugly inside of us. It's self-examination. And then it's another thing we don't want to do. Admit when we're wrong. You know when it's easiest to admit that you're wrong? The minute you figure out you were wrong. The longer you hold on to that, the harder it will get. But there is high benefit in you telling your children at times, Daddy shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. I'm going to do better. That's what we ask them to do, right? Psalms 139. We start in verse 1, it says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thoughts from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. God knows where you're at. Do you know where you're at? Do we know where we're at? Do I know where I'm at? How does that happen? You got to look at yourself. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and see if that image you're seeing is reflecting Christ. And then if it is not, or even if you think it is, then you ask God what verse 23 and 4 says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. Isn't that what we want for our loved ones? Don't we want them to be in the everlasting way? Don't we want them to make it? What price are you willing to pay to make sure that those loved ones will make it? Are you willing to set aside pride, selfishness, greed, anger? Will your footsteps lead the ones that are looking up to you to the everlasting way?